1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
The problem of our kids being the victims of some kind of predator, of course, is a continuing problem. Jay Santos joins us. He contacted us through our producer, Janice Aguero. He is an officer of a group called the Citizens Auxiliary Police. They are, my understanding is, a volunteer police agency. Mr. Santos, is that right?
We are still currently engaged in assisting the police as a citizen force, as a citizen auxiliary police force. And if you want to say we're volunteer, I suppose, but we are very much on the front line of law enforcement. And I, my rank is of a Brigadier Admiral, which is second in command only to Major Elvis Newton, who is in charge of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
All right, now what are you engaged in right now at the Melinda Lee Middle School, which is in Torrance?
We have determined, being concerned about the safety of our children as anyone, we've determined through patrol observation that was indicated in the news yesterday that obviously you've got a lot of these predators cruising schools to see if they can snatch a child.
Right.
And the reason for this, Phil, and it's a very unfortunate one, is that the school's speed limits in the area, and we recognize, of course, the need for a speed limit that is safe, but because motorists are forced to slow down in school zones, while it does help save children's lives, it also affords the opportunity of any predator to cruise the school, to make a visual contact with children. And because we've been more concerned with these speed limits, which in many ways may be artificial, that basically give these perverts a chance to turn our children's school into a buffet, I suppose you could say, for this. This is wrong. We start a Mars situation.
All right. Now, as I understand this, Brigadier Admiral, you and other members of your organization are forcing vehicles to speed up through school zones because you feel it is the slow school zone speed limits that are giving these perverts and these child molesters an opportunity to cruise the school?
That is correct. If you are forced to drive your car a little bit more rapidly through the school area, then you can't cruise. And cruising is indicated, when we talk about cruising, we are indicating that the vehicle is driven by a motorist who is sitting lower in the seat. Generally, the hand on top of the wheel is higher than the top of the head. Generally, sunglasses are worn. The seat is tilted back at a roughly, I'd probably say, about 60% angle. And this also, a lot of these individuals might have some music playing, etc. Because the vehicle's traveling slow through a school zone, then they can take a peek, and all these sick pervs want to take a peek at these children and what have you. So what we have done over at the Melinda Lee Middle School, and there's also an urgent care clinic there.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You guys are forcing traffic to speed up near a middle school where there's also an urgent care clinic, and it could be a little dangerous.
Well, one of the things in law enforcement is the way the benefits and the disadvantages, Phil. I know the area is well trafficked.
Well, there's a lot of pedestrians there.
That is correct, yes.
And because there's a lot of pedestrians there, telling people, well, look, I don't want perverts driving slow, so we got to speed the cars up. You may be putting people in harm's way, which is indeed what happened, right?
Well, if I could address this one at a time. I know the areas you indicated, Phil, is well trafficked with pedestrians, and our subcommanders take that into consideration. We have on staff at any given time 12, 15 subcommanders. I am generally at that location. My own son goes to that school. And we are uniformed.
But you guys are not official police. You're a volunteer police agency.
Well, it's a toss-up. I mean, we have authority if we see something wrong. Our uniform is a standard blue armband. We do wear a pith or a safari-style helmet, and we as well have a fluorescent orange traffic glove. The reason for this is the orange glove, you notice it, and you do what the glove tells you to do. And if that glove is telling you to move on through rapidly, you'll do it, and that's what we've been doing. Now, we're not giving perverts a chance to slow down in school zones. And we're getting them through there as quickly as possible, and I understand that.
But again, this is a safety concern, because a crossing guard there, you know, the woman near the Melinda Lee School was hit and critically injured by a car driven by a woman who said she was forced to speed through the area in case she was a pervert.
I'm well aware of the lady, but as a crossing guard, she is technically law enforcement, and you hate to see people go down in the line. But
well, the woman's a crossing guard. She was hit by a speeding delivery van. She was caught under the rear axle for 30 yards before the van pulled over. The woman who police talked to said that somebody in a blue armband or one of you guys told her to get through the area faster and intimated that she was a pervert.
Well, you don't know.
Well, she's a mother who had dropped her kid off.
I was not aware of that. What I'm saying to you, Phil, is you don't know. We're trying to get these people through. See, again, it's a toss-up. And I would ask this question of any of your listeners. Do you want your children to be the victims of a perv? Because I'll tell you right now, if my son was the victim of one of these sick, twisted pervs, I would not want him to live. And I think that every parent out there understands. I would rather that he die. Because that changes his life forever. And it's the worst thing that can happen to a child. And if one of these pervs got his hand on my kid, I'd assume that kid get run over by a Jeep. I think a lot of parents feel that way.
And well, I don't know. I don't know that any parent would feel that way necessarily. A child being victimized like this is horrific. You're absolutely right. But there certainly is an opportunity to save his life.
I would tell you right now, change the kid's life forever. If my kid got all felled up or whatever by a perv, I would not want that boy.
You wouldn't want him to live.
No. So what I'm trying to say to you is this. I'm saying, what's worse? Your kid getting groped by a perv, one of the perved out individuals, or you get drug under a rear axle. And I would say to you, I'd much rather my child...
Well, you've made your point very clear. You'd much rather your child die than be victimized by a predator, and I don't know that I would agree with that.
But I think anybody out there who is a mother and father would agree with me, Phil. I know you're a stepfather, so it's not quite as good, but I think a lot of those people would agree.
Well, our number... Really? It's not as good, huh?
What I mean is you are not as connected to your kids as we are.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Forgive me, we took a little bit of time. We're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. If you just joined us, Mr. Santos, along with other officers in this volunteer police agency, have indicated that they are out at middle schools trying to get the traffic through the area faster because they believe... And perhaps there's a point to their argument that the slower speed limits around schools allows predators the opportunity to cruise and to, what would be the word that they use?
Well, federal law enforcement, we say they cruise and they go through a selection process. They cruise and they target. And we're trying to make sure that those slow speed limits in those schools, which have been killing our kids worse than any speeder, we get rid of those and get rid of them fast.
You're trying to tell me that the slow speed limits around schools have afforded perverts so much opportunity to pick kids up that they've killed our kids more than speeding?
You know what? Yeah. And my understanding is...
Do you have any facts to back that up?
I don't need any facts. I've got, use your common sense.
Sorry, I can't use my common sense. Do you have any facts to back up your claim that slow speed limits have wound up allowing perverts to pick up kids and it's killed more kids?
Use common sense, I think I'll tell you, Mr. Henry.
No, common sense isn't an answer, though. Do you have facts to back that up?
I'm sure I could find them. I don't think it'd be a problem at all.
Well, but do you have them now?
I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. You may not know what I'm talking about. I think everybody listening right now knows what to talk about.
Well, I don't think that to say slowing kids down, and a woman was hit by an individual that was forced through this area by you.
I will tell you this, Mr. Henry. All I said to the woman is that, excuse me, you're going to want to move along because you look like if you are some kind of a predator. Today, the restaurant's closed, is what I said to her.
Well, she reported that you came up to the car window and said, move along, baby, the restaurant's closed.
That is correct.
Well, it turned out she was a woman dropping her child off.
At that time, we did not have that information. Had we had that information at that time, we would have been very happy.
So you tell her to get out of the area, and you tell her to get out of there as fast as possible, and she winds up hitting this crossing guard.
And you and other members of the liberal press have tried to make this sound that I did, and it's nothing that I did. You people who do not protect our children do it.
And I'm not doing anything to work. What do you mean not protect our children? Mr. Santos, with all due respect...
I'd appreciate you use my rank, Mr. Renner, because...
All right, Brigadier Admiral, I'm saying that the kids are... You're telling me that slow speed limits around schools lets predators...
You heard me. These perverts have the chance to pluck the best apple from the tree by driving through these slow school zones, looking up a dress or what have you, taking their cell phones, taking pictures of panties. It's a sick and twisted deal. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to give them an opportunity to do that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Have the slow school zone speed limits afforded predators the chance to cruise our schools? Citizens Auxiliary Police Representative Jay Sanis is on our show saying that they are purposefully speeding up cars through school zones so that perverts don't get a chance to, quote, pick an apple from the tree. The only problem is, in forcing one car through the area at a rapid rate of speed, a crossing guard, an elderly woman in her 70s, was hit and critically injured. 1-800-449-8686. Should traffic get through the school zones faster so the perverts don't have a chance? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Jay Sanis, you think that a child is better off dead than having been molested by a pervert?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think every parent out there would agree with that. I think that any parent that has a child that's been molested, that they could have prevented by slowing, that speeding cars up, then not only should, I think they should be locked up, and then I think that child needs to be put into an institution.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean the parents should be locked up?
If you knew that you could have saved your child from being molested by a perv by getting the traffic moving faster through a school zone, and you said, well, no, it's not worth it, well, then, brother, when you see me coming, you better run.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, let's go over to Jim. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, my name's Jim. I'm a commercial vehicle driver. I drive a truck for a living.
Yes, sir.
These speed limits are set by the Department of Safety for a reason. And under whose authority are you telling somebody that they need to go faster than that set posted speed limit?
Well, under authority, I don't want my kid picked up by no perv.
Well, I'm the father of five. I have five children,
right.
Five boys.
You don't want your kids to be on some pervert's buffet list.
Absolutely not, but I don't want somebody rushing my child or rushing a commuter through there that's going to accidentally run over them, neither.
Yep.
They need to be watching for the perverts, but they don't need to be hurrying people through a school zone.
That's my point.
Yeah, but I would like to ask both you gentlemen this. What's better, your kid getting run over or being grappled by a perv?
What's better?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the choice that we're faced with now.
No, the choice is stop it before it happens and don't let neither one happen to your child if you can damn well help it.
Well, that's what we're trying to do, sir, and one of the things you do to keep it from happening is you don't let them ride through there with the, you know, a pair of fuzzy dice hanging from the mirror or what have you, with the wraparound sunglasses, picking out some kid like an apple from a tree.
Well, and the way I see it, you're profiling people, you know. For one thing, you're profiling.
Yeah.
For another thing, you have no authority to make somebody go faster than the posted speed.
Right. And following up on Jim, you are profiling. And what do you...
There are certain criminal profiles. Yes, there are.
Well, what are they?
At this time, law enforcement recognizes that a lot of these sexual perverts generally drive a late model automobile. They generally have some kind of bumper sticker or radio station bumper stickers or these things. They have... you know, choose life or something like that. They're generally wearing sunglasses. They're older men. By older, I say they're probably in their late 20s, early 30s, 40s. Beard, wraparound sunglasses, this kind of thing.
They have choose life bumper stickers?
Generally, yes, sir.
You mean they're anti-abortion?
Generally, they try to get the child's trust that way. That's correct, yeah.
All right. Jim, anything else?
No, I got to get out here, man. I'm the red light.
We look for Indian gas to go through. And they also drive trucks.
I think his apple fell a little far from the tree.
Well, yeah, these perverts like to park over a speed bump.
All right, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Mary, go ahead. Mary?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air on the Phil Henry Show here with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Hi there. I'm in shock at what you are thinking of putting parents in an institution for sending their children to school.
No, for allowing their child to get groped by a perv when they knew they could have slowed traffic down and the perv wouldn't have a chance to be, picking some fruit from a vine. I think you understand what I'm talking about.
Why a school zone? I mean, why not
because that's where they like to go.
And malls and airports and anywhere that a child is, a pervert is going to have every opportunity to take a picture of a child.
Well, a school is the place where the parents say to him, go ahead and take a picture of my child. That's the difference. That's where you marry a lot.
449-8686. Michelle, go ahead. Michelle?
Yeah. This guy is ridiculous. Kids can have pictures taken of them at malls, grocery stores. It does not matter. It does
yeah,
not
I think
have
the last lady just said that. So 800-449-8686. We're talking with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police about the Melinda Lee Middle School, which is down in Torrance. You guys are speeding traffic up through that area because you want the people who are driving there not to get an opportunity to look at kids, right?
Well, that's all we're trying to do, Phil, is we are trying to protect the children because obviously their parents don't want to do that for them. They are allowing their kids to be dropped off at middle schools, and then any pervert can drive through the area going really slow because the speed limit forces them to. And so in forcing them to go slow, they are allowed to look at these kids. Now, the parents obviously want this.
Well, you can't be serious that a parent wants their kid.
Well, I'm not saying they literally want it, but they're obviously don't care about it. And here's the other thing, too, Phil. By allowing the speed limits to be the speed that they are, and that is by allowing those speed limits to be low, you are asking normal men to slow down, and maybe then they'll start to feel a little pervert themselves. That is, regular men, fathers, whatever, they'll slow down, they'll start checking out the scene, and they get into the perv lifestyle. And we've looked at the perv lifestyle now for 40 years, and there are quite a few things that are consistent. One of them is these slow speed limits.
Regular fathers, you're saying?
Regular men, yes.
All of a sudden get into the pervert lifestyle because they're forced to go slow through school zones and they're checking it out.
That is correct. And I didn't make that up. That's something you can check out for Federal Bureau of Investigation as well as the California High Patrol.
All right, here is Jennifer. Go ahead.
I think that's absolutely absurd. You're going to tell people to speed up
that's
in
right.
my child's school zone.
Oh, so you want
so
the guy to go?
Hit them?
Oh, so you want the guy to go slow so he can check your kid out?
No, I'm not going
exactly
to send my kid to school and get an education so he could be a hoodlum.
All right, are you aware of the fact that the school speed zones are slow?
Are you a pervert?
No, are you? Apparently you like to have them look at your kid. What we're
no,
trying to do is apparently you enjoy that. No, you enjoy that.
Apparently
you enjoy that because...
All right, hold on for a minute. Hold on. It doesn't sound like either one of you know what you're talking about. Are you a mother?
Yes, I am.
All right, you're aware that there's school speed zones.
Absolutely.
No, she's not. Apparently she's not.
Well, let me
Absolutely.
Ask the question. All right, so you're saying, Jay, because the cars are going through slow, the perverts can watch.
That's right, and she apparently doesn't get the connection. Parents, just because they have kids doesn't mean they got imagination. What we're trying to do is alert these parents to the realities of what happens to the pervert.
So
and I think, ma'am, you got to get your priorities straight. Do you want your kid to get run over by a car, or do you want your kid to get fondled by a pervert?
I shouldn't send my child to school, and I should basically confine my child to the house so perverts like you can't take pictures of my child.
All right, why do you call him a pervert, ma'am?
He seems to know, like, all the pros and cons about pervertism.
Well, shouldn't you as a parent?
Absolutely, but I'm not going to seclude my kid to their house.
Seclude?
So weird people.
Well, ma'am, I would suggest you're probably molesting your children, okay?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I would love
exactly
to know. I would love to know where you live. You're in West Palm Beach. Your name is Jennifer. So I think you're a child molester, and you're not only molesting your own children, you're molesting all of the kids in the neighborhood. Okay,
problem.
Jennifer, leave your child alone. Get your hand out of her underwear. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I want to close out, Jay. In closing, what is the profile of a typical, when you say there's a child molesters out there, what's the profile?
The profile, as far as we can tell, Phil, of a typical predator, is changing. The profile of the predator now is female, generally 35 to 40 years of age. She generally drives some kind of a recreational vehicle, or what they call a sport utility vehicle. She generally has brown paper bags with Kroger's written on the back, or Vons, lots of groceries in the back. And generally, she is constantly on about things like ADHD and this sort of thing. Just to cover them up.
You mean like a housewife?
I'm sorry?
Like a regular woman? Like the women out there?
Right, that's exactly. They look exactly like mothers. Only they're out there, they're perverts, but they're men. They're in wigs. And, you know, it's...
They're men in wigs who look like...
Yeah, they look, in other words, like Mary Tyler Moore. Oh, I gotta go, Phil. It's the...
Get out of here! And turn this off.
No, I won't.
I said to turn it up.
No, I'm not gonna.
Turn it off.
No.
Turn this stupid song. Turn it off, please.
No, do not turn it off, Mark.
Swings into action.
He's my engineer. I told him to turn it off.
And I'm telling him don't turn it off.
Militia, the Rangers.
Are the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
These are the stories of the man.
Now you can turn it off. There, he turned it off.
Anyway.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Yeah, I would like to tell the lady you have on the radio, she's a blithering idiot. I am a retired deacon from the Catholic Church.
No, but that's not a priest.
And I'll tell you, dear.
That's not
only,
a priest.
The only thing that has came out of your mouth since you started talking and it makes sense is the fact that you got out of the Catholic Church. And as a deacon, I can honestly say I think most Catholics are glad you did. And I don't think any Protestant wants you to speak for them.
Why don't you treat the Pope better? Why don't you treat the Pope better?
Here, I have met the Pope. I have met the Pope twice. We did not ask him to baptize or to bless or to do anything.
You asked him.
We went there on a mission. And our mission was to learn what we needed to learn from the Catholic Church. And the Pope was not in ill health then. The only health that he is in problems with now is the fact that he has canceled a lot of his tours, and he is cutting back on his travels because the man is an old, old man.
That's when right. So why don't you let him rest instead of trying to be a priest even though you're married?
What?
I didn't say I was a priest.
You said you were
deacon.
Almost as good as a priest.
But he didn't. He said he's a deacon, which is
many men are deacon in the church.
Yeah,
and
because
married with happy families.
You're the guys that want to get up and bore everybody with a sermon, even though you're married.
There, lady.
Yes.
I hope when you're 80 years old that you're able to get up and go to church and not lay on your bed and have to have some priest come to you. Because
that's
what
right.
He won't come.
And have caused that to happen. And I think that bedpans and diapers are one hell of a way for the Holy Father to end his life.
Well, he's very elderly. Our number on the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800...
I don't want to take any more calls. Excuse me, but I ate some sashimi in Park City, Utah, and I feel as if I'm going to pitch my lower intestine up. I'm very sorry, Phil.
But there's people that want to talk.
I don't want to talk to these idiots. It's obvious that they don't understand. It's obvious they have all the concern for me that they have for the Pope, which is none. And they'd rather see me die from creeping Ebola, from E. coli, whatever that stuff is. It was also reported, by the way, that the Pope tried to use his own hat as a diaper. Now, if that isn't dementia, then, I just don't know what. And with that, goodbye. Aren't you going to say anything?
Get out of here!
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold!
Pope tried to use his own diaper, his own hat as a diaper. 1-800-449-8688, whatever the number is, I don't know. It says 86, it could be, they'd change it tomorrow. You know, say what you want, you get old, things are rough. And to make fun of an old man listing sideways in a chair, I'd like to know what the Catholic Church is thinking. I'd like to know if there is some need that they have to further humiliate human beings. They've already molested children, now they've taken a poor old man and they've trotted him out in front of the world listing to one side. The mouth doesn't work. Looks like he's had a stroke. His hat's on backwards. They're saying he's going to go on vacation, that he's going to retire to Rome and go on vacation. What is the need to continue to humiliate and otherwise damage human beings that you guys in the Catholic Church have got? And don't worry, I'm not just knocking Catholics, all right, because they always feel like they're persecuted, just like other Christians. I'm talking about you cats over there in the Muslim faith, too, and you Buddhists, all of you. But at least the Buddhists aren't trotting Buddha out after he can't even use a toilet properly. At least they haven't got the laughing Buddha out there with a diaper on. Maybe he's got on a pair of, maybe he's got a Speedo on, but that's far from a diaper or whatever the Buddha wears. The only other religion that I can think of that keeps their leaders alive well past any reasonable age is Islam. They've got some of the oldest. And although at least those cats aren't listing to one side in a wheelchair, you know? Although they do have some cats in that religion with one eye, and there's another guy. The guy that they almost blew up the other day, the Israelis had some tough luck, man. That cat almost accidentally drove underneath a missile. But that guy looks like he's about ready to just go ahead and roll a seven. Have you seen him? These old, old men. With age sometimes comes wisdom, and oftentimes comes bitterness. And oftentimes comes the strength of personality and bitterness to have younger people do your bidding and to be manipulated by you. So if you're old and you're also psychotic, well, you have Islam in the Middle East today. Or the Roman Catholic Church. All right, well, that little bit of comedy. We've got a free website this weekend for you. It's the Phil Henry website. Usually you have to pay to get online, but not this weekend. You want to know why? I want you to sample our website. I want you to hear the radio comedy that we've provided down for the many years. And then I want you to go ahead and go around to some other radio personality websites. And you realize how stale and dull theirs are. And then you'll come back to ours. Theirs is. And then you'll come back to ours and you will want to stream it. And we'll let you download it. And it's cool. In other words, you want to pay. And not only that, when you live stream our show, you can download it onto hard disk and own a piece of the Phil Henry Show. That's what we call this weekend, Own Phil. And all you have to do is go to our website on Friday. It's www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com, and sample all the wares. And when you log on to the live streaming of our show, go ahead and download it. I don't care. Put it on disk. Turn it into a file. Fine with me. And don't forget our email address, too, if you'd like to send your comments, questions, recipes, or a bon voyage. You're finally going to do yourself in, which, thank you very much. Just send it to PHS at Phil Henry Show. Dear Phil, I'm about to kill myself. Just wanted to say goodbye. Good for you. Bon voyage. Have a nice trip. PHS at PhilHenryShow.com. PHS at PhilHenryShow.com. And we'll be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, here's, by the way, the voice of Margaret and Jay Santos was performed by me, and the people that called were unsuspecting, unpaid, unprompted idiots. No, they're nice people. They just didn't know what was going on. And so that's a lot of the stuff we got on our website. We got some old bits on there. And also we got our 2003 Best Of CD coming out. All the money goes to benefit My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And for everybody at My Friend's Place that supported this show, we're going to do some personal appearances this year. We're going to do some signings. We're going to get everybody out there. So I'm really sorry that I couldn't get it together last year. But what was happening last year? It was just, I don't know. I just didn't have I wasn't in the mood to go out and sign CDs. Must have been something happening in my life. Must have been biorhythms. The Iraq War was in the spring. I don't think that, although it was kind of a bummer leading up to it. I guess I was just in the mood to not do anything, just sit on my ass and get fat, which is essentially what I did. I was successful. But we did sell enough CDs at least to top the, about 100-something-odd thousand? Yeah, the World Series hype kind of bummed me out. You know, I wanted to go watch the series, football season. Speaking of football, we got another NFL player that's been arrested, and you'll want to hear more about that. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers can't tell time. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I emailed them when was it, Chris, originally on this time change thing, we got a call from some kid that works in their communications department, and he says, hey, this is so-and-so, and upon your request for Simeon Rice, Warren Sapp, Michael Pittman, and Darren Smith, well, you see, you're on 4 to 7 Pacific, and we're back east, so that means we're practicing 1 to 4. And so, as you can see, we can't get these guys out of practice. It was on September the 2nd. And I listened to this with my jaw hanging open, and I said to Chris, would you please inform these guys that 4 to 7, now I realize it's Tampa, Florida, but in the name of everything holy, you gotta know at least how many hours behind or ahead people are, right? You know what time zone you're in, don't you? I realize you guys work for a football team, but you know what time zone you're in, right? You gotta know that, because when you go to watch the game on Sunday morning, it's like 10 o'clock the early game here on the West Coast, 1 o'clock, or if you live in the East Coast, 1 o'clock's the early game, 4 o'clock is the late game. So let them know that 4 to 7 Pacific is 7 to 10 back east. And that would make it very easy for any one of these charming gentlemen to come on the air with us. And when we did that, I guess it hurt their feelings because we haven't heard anything since. And then when I called back today to talk to, I forget the man's name, he's the communications director. He didn't want to communicate with me. And I know why, because we've been on the air bagging on Warren Sapp and all these other guys. It's fun. Jeff Kennis, is that the guy? He was in a meeting. He couldn't take my call. But he was in a meeting. But all I want to do is talk to Warren and find out how all of his kids are, all 20 of them. And in what cities are they living now? And has he met most of them yet? That's all I wanted to know. And I want to find out how much damage Michael Pittman did to his Hummer when he ran it over his wife's Mercedes. That's all. I thought maybe we'd take up a donation. And then I wanted to know about Darren Smith when he waved that gun out the window. Did he tell the kids about it and tell them what brand of weapon it was and where they could purchase one? What kind of gun do you recommend, Darren, kids use who are coming up in life? And then I wanted to talk to the other guy. What's the other guy's name? Oh, yeah, Simeon Rice. I wanted to know, with all of the bravery that it takes to play professional football, just how much of a pussy does he think Pat Tillman really is? I wanted to find out. I wanted him to just kind of maybe a no-holds-barred interview, just so we can find out what he really feels about what a real sissy Pat Tillman is when he could be back here playing football for a living. Now, that's a man's game. By the way, I'm going to get my picks up, or I should say Joe Dickhead's picks will be up soon. And he went 6-10 last week. Why? Because a lot of teams laid down, because a lot of teams don't like me. The Philadelphia Eagles, they laid down. But I'd also like to say about Monday night's game, I forgot to congratulate the Cowboys and the New York Giants for giving us a reason to watch Monday Night Football, maybe the first reason we've had in 3 seasons to watch Monday Night Football, because God knows Al Michaels and John Madden ain't it. Neither was, what's his name, Dan Yokel and who's the guy? Steve Miller? Bill Miller? Harry Miller? Mary Miller? What's his name? Anus? Oh, Dennis. You mean Anus Miller? Hi, everybody. I'm Anus Miller. You ever noticed how these pole-sitting... Dennis Arseface Miller, and, you know, God knows you guys ain't it, so they had a pretty damn good football game. And way to go, New York Giants. Boy, that coach they got there, I know he's from California, but I didn't know he was that brain dead. I mean, I know he comes from Palos Verdes, but I didn't know he was that sunbaked. Some of those decisions you made the tail end of that ballgame, Fossil, no wonder they call you Fossil. Is that F-O-S-S-I-L? All right, here is the thing that I really wanted to talk about. Digital camera used to take upskirt pictures. Some guy was popped in a bar in some town because he had his digital camera. Excuse me, he had one of those cell phones that takes cameras, takes pictures. And they're really remarkable little pieces of equipment. I've often said, you know, to my wife, I wish I had a camera for this or that. You know, there's something happening. Where is the camera? We don't have a camera. These things are incorporated into the cell phone, and they're really amazing, and people use them. Well, naturally, here's some guy who is, he's doing exactly what most Americans would do once they have a brand new toy, use it in some way to take pictures of girls' private areas. And the guy is, what is he, like 45? And so he takes these pictures, and he's so stupid, I mean, he's so colossally stupid that he tells the bartender about it, who happens to be a woman, who then takes his camera and calls the cops. So one thing about these guys that are posting porn on the internet, they're not too bright. Whatever happened to that guy with that Girls Gone Wild? Now, is business a little slow these days, pal? Yeah, I'll bet it is, man. Every time a guy puts a credit card into your site now, he doesn't know whether he's going to get kiddie porn or not. Way to go, dopey. So it furthers what I was saying the other day. When it comes to technology, specifically computers, 95% of the American people have no other use for it but to play with themselves. Honest to God. There's only, really, just think about this. Only really 5% tops of the American people use the internet and use their personal computers for expansive, vital work, or to create, or to otherwise conceptualize in business or in recreation. I mean, really things that are kind of push the boundaries. The rest of us, 95% of us, we take a look at the computer and we're like a monkey looking at that monolith in 2001, aren't we? Yeah, you know, we're just kind of, that's all we do with it. I mean, Stanley Kubrick, I know he was boring and I know that movie hasn't held up, but by God, he told the story right, at least in one sense. Now you realize, at the beginning of 2001, the ape is us, and that monolith is a computer. That's exactly what's going on, and we're hopping around it like the furry apes that we are, and it just sits there, and we wouldn't know what to do with it, man, if it fell on us. So, what does man do with his furry ape-like head? He scratches his noggin, and he goes, well, I got one hand in my pants and the other on a keyboard. I know, porn. And that's what this wonderful new world of the internet has provided mankind. Porn. When you don't have anything to do, what do? You play with yourself. When you're nervous, what do? You play with yourself. When you're angry, what do? You play with yourself. When your wife is out of town, when your girlfriend's out of town, when you don't have a girlfriend, when no woman would come within 50 miles of you, what would you do? You play with yourself. When you're bored, you play with yourself. When you're watching TV, you play with yourself. When you're listening to the radio, you play with yourself. When you're listening to the Phil Hendry Show, you play with yourself. When you burn the chicken, when you upset your husband, when you don't do things right, you're anxious, you're crazy, you're nuts, you play with yourself. When you're wide awake, you play with yourself, and when you're asleep, you're playing with yourself. That's all we think about. That's all we're consumed by. So naturally, when we sit down in front of a computer, what's the first thing we think of doing? Playing with ourselves. We're the most playing with ourself country in the history of the world. When you talk on the radio, what do? You play with yourself. Why'd you write that down, bud?
Hey, look at Aiken's on TV. He's a...
Don't ever come near me after you piss me off. Aiken's on TV. 1-800-449-8686. When you see Sandra Bullock, you... Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up on the Phil Hendry Show today, we've got a Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. He wants the speed limits around school zones to be increased because the faster people drive through there, the less chance perverts have of cruising and eyeballing all the little kids. He's a real sick animal, Jay Santos. He's coming up today. We also have a walk down memory lane. We'll be playing a clip from Christmas of 2002. And that's when Lloyd Bonafide said that a man keeping a huge Christmas tree in his window was actually a symbol for all the widows on the block that he's got a big, And then we got more stuff here about Bud Dickman's Phil Hendry Show in Seven Words or Less. We're going to talk about that because we're ending the contest today. We're leading off this hour with Kobe Bryant because apparently the people that work for him are working overtime. The people that work for you, Kobe, man, they are working overtime because now the woman who has alleged that Kobe Bryant sexually assaulted her, now her name, quote, mistakenly was posted on a state court website Tuesday as part of a legal filing in the case. The subpoena showing the 19-year-old woman's name and address. was up for about an hour. Now, as we all know, rape victims or alleged rape victims, why, there's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be frightened of. All this woman's had to do is change her address, change her identity, leave the state, and live under a rock. Other than that, why, her life is just as hunky-dory as it always was. I'm going to tell you something, Bryant. Your people must be really crawling out from underneath some rocks to start pulling stuff like this. And don't tell me you ain't got nothing to do with it. Don't tell me your lawyers don't have anything to do with sticking this woman's name on this website, leaking this, leaking that, leaking everything all over the place. Good for you for hiring a woman attorney, okay? It makes it look good, don't it? And people are telling me, you know, you got to really kind of lay off of Kobe Bryant. Because I said, well, why? Well, you know, he's a local guy, and so? Well, I mean, after all, he may not have done it, and, you know, well, you know something? I never quite go the way I'm supposed to go, do I? I do a talk show where I make up funny voices, and people call in, and it's real weird. So what makes you think I'm going to do anything else the way everybody else does it? What makes you think, if I do the kind of radio show that I like to do, that I'm going to do anything even remotely resembling anything else anybody else does on the air in this town or anywhere else, for that matter? Now, apparently, Bryant's people are out to smear and harass this woman. And, you know, all the sports talk hosts in America, I mean, they're all Kobe's jail boys anyway, so they're just, oh, Kobe, what can we do to help you? What can we do to wash your jockstrap today? What can we do to polish your shoes, to polish your teeth, to buff the helmet? What do you want us to do, Kobster? I mean, we got a season to play. We have glory ahead of us. We have a championship to win. We have the Lakers, Lakers, Lakers. And when the championship is won, and the Lakers get into their limousines and ride down in their parades, and the confetti falls, and they sing, and they dance, and they just have themselves a joyous time, you and me and all the rest of us Laker fans get to walk back to the crap cans we live in, crawl through the window of our apartment, and lay down on our cot. And go, ooh, the Lakers won. So this woman has now had her name put out all over the internet, all over the world. She's had some piece of human waste busted. Who was that guy in Nebraska? Some drunk. What was that guy's name? Oh, I guess we shouldn't say because he hasn't been convicted of the crime yet. Some pervert busted into her apartment. Or, I know what it was. He was doing something really courageous. He was making anonymous phone calls. And so that guy, apparently, you know, they got him on ice. And we can't say nothing about it because, you know, he may be innocent after all. Yeah, sure. Sure you are, pal. So she's been harassed. She's been chased. She's been bothered up one side and down the next. She's been called insane. She filed a report here. She filed a report there. Again, as I have to keep pointing out, Kobe Bryant may be an innocent man, but as far as I'm concerned... As far as I'm concerned, the guy ain't committed no crime, you're right, not yet. But the hypocrisy about this guy and cheating on his wife and kid breaks all records. Because I got people saying to me, how come you thought it was okay for Clinton to do what he did, but Kobe Bryant can't do what he did? So I would turn it around and then say to you, okay, if you didn't like what Clinton did, then how come you were protecting Kobe? So which is it? Clinton, his job... entitles him to have sex with another woman other than his wife. If you get right down to think about it, the job that he's got with the balance of the world's peace just on the precipice, I would forgive that guy if he strayed a little bit. If his nerves just got to him and he called 1-800, you know, talk to our models, 1-800 Big Blondes, 1-800 Big Mama, and had one come over there just for the half hour, told Hillary to get lost, go on out, go play, go ride horses with your girlfriends, whatever the hell it is you guys do. Go watch the drags. What is that group of gals you hang with? They shoot a lot of pool? Yeah, go with them. I would forgive Clinton, given the fact that his job is one of immense pressure, and quite frankly, the existence of every one of us lies in the balance if that guy doesn't do his job right. The existence, not just the happiness, not just the well-being, not just the relative economic comfort, the literal existence of us. Kobe Bryant, on the other hand, does nothing of value for anyone other than himself, his wife, his kid. He earns a living. Well, that doesn't make him any different than a lot of men. He earns a pretty damn good living, which probably does make him different than a lot of men. But the living that he is making, in other words, the basketball that he's playing, You could take it off the face of the earth tomorrow, and it wouldn't mean a ripple in a toilet bowl. I guarantee you that. With all of that propaganda notwithstanding about how sports teams bring millions of dollars into the marketplace, yeah, if we need another hot dog vendor job, man, they really dish out those jobs, don't they? Yeah, I need another gig pushing a broom, man. Let's get another sports team in town.
Well, what about all the construction of the arenas and everything?
Yeah, the arena is built, and then those clowns are out on the unemployment line. So I got to tell you something, man. You people are crawling on your bellies now. Kobe Bryant and his lawyers, man, they are really crawling in the sewer now, posting this woman's name on a state court website and saying that they don't know anything about it. So they're going to try to harass her. If she has a history of mental illness, they'll try to push her over the edge on that. In other words, she'll be treated like just about every other woman who's alleged she's been raped. Who's telling the truth, by the way. In other words, women who have been raped, the first thing you do is you try to call them a liar, you try to call them a slut, and you try to basically drive them crazy. So if you're a woman who's really been raped, I would think very seriously about whether or not you even want to report it, because first and foremost, you'll be a slut. And all of you fathers out there, by the way, let me ask you this. You don't want your daughter raped, right? But what if she was raped by Kobe Bryant? Wouldn't that be a feather in your cap? Wouldn't that be something you could tell your friends at work? Sure it would. Because after all, the Lakers season is important. We've got to get this. We've got to get him back in uniform. We've got to get Kobe back out there, right? So I think if you're a father, a brother, boyfriend of or husband of a woman who may have been raped by an L.A. Laker, man, now that's something you can call up the sports talk shows about. And maybe you'll even win tickets to an Avenger game with the best My Wife Got Raped by a Laker story. Yeah, it's sick and it's twisted, right? You know, is it making you sick? Hey, man, it's making me sick. Every time I look at this case, this Kobe Bryant case, I want to pitch my guts up five different ways. Now to get this kid's name out on a website, I don't know whether she is telling the truth or whether she's lying. But I can tell you what right now, if you think for one second that this stuff is happening without the knowledge of Bryant's attorneys, without the active participation, it is my opinion, and my opinion only, that Kobe Bryant's attorneys will crawl through any sewer, they'll go down any storm drain, they will sip from any toilet that they have to get their client off. Because, I'm going to tell you something, an entire law firm's reputation is at stake. What's the name of this law firm? They're out of Denver and they specialize in getting rapists off. What's her name? Haddon and something? That's their specialty, ain't it? A guy rapes a woman and their whole thing is to try to get this guy released, right? Abuse, oh, I see. So a woman gets the crap kicked out of her, and they try to get the husband back out on the street so he can beat the crap out of her some more, right? What's the name of that attorney? What's her name? Haddon something? I don't know what it is. She's got to win this case. She's got to win this case. Because if she loses this case, it's all over for her little legal firm. Pamela McKay and Hal Haddon. They got to win this case. They don't win this case, they're in the crap can. They'll be about as well off as this Garagos guy is going to be after Scott Peterson finally gets hooked up to the lethal injection. They'll be sharing the same phone book page. Drunk driving? Call Pamela McKay or Mark Garagos. They'll be in the same Yellow Pages page. So they have to win this case. Everything is at stake. It's high profile. And I'm telling you right now, I said it to you, there isn't a gutter they won't sleep in or a prostitute that they won't have sex with to get Kobe Bryant off of this charge. Even if he's guilty. See what I'm saying? Even if he's guilty. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The reason why it's world-famous is we don't do it like any other show. And we don't just say we're different. We are. And if you don't believe me, why don't you give a listen to Jay Santos coming up? Or Bud Dickman in a few minutes. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hello, everybody. My name's Frodo the Puppet, and today it's Phil Hendry Explains the Bullcrap.
Well, hi, Frodo. How are you?
I'm good, Mr. Hendry. I got a question for you on Phil Explains the Bullcrap, because I don't get it.
Well, Frodo, I'm going to try to help you as well as I can. What is your question?
Why do some people refuse to leave their houses when a hurricane is coming?
Why do some people refuse to leave their houses when a hurricane is coming?
One time I seen an old lady on TV. That old bitch wasn't going to get out for love or money. What's up with that?
Well, Frodo, there's two reasons why people, when they fully know a hurricane is on the way. For instance, Hurricane Isabel, which has winds clocked of around 105 miles an hour, there's two reasons why people refuse.
How fast did you say?
105 miles an hour.
Holy Jesus!
Yeah, that's right, Frodo. It's pretty fast. It's about a category, a category 2 or something like that.
You don't say!
That's right. Now, there's two reasons why people refuse to leave their homes when a hurricane is coming. Number one, for the elderly, well, it's an obvious death wish. See, when they interview some old bag on television and she says she isn't leaving her home, it's really because her life is so rigid and narrow that without her house, why, she'd just as soon die. Because without her house, she'd have no life at all. In fact, you might say she's one of the millions of our seniors who are out there walking dead. Dead from the neck up.
Well, what do you mean she wouldn't have a life?
Well, she doesn't have a life because other than her petunia garden and, you know, taking her 1 millionth dump on that original porcelain toilet, she is locked into that home. She doesn't want to make any new friends. She doesn't want to go out and meet people. So she wants to die, and she'd rather die in that house.
Boy, that's pretty sick, Mr. Hendry. I hope the kids listening don't ever want to do that.
Well, that's right, Frodo. Now,
you say there's two reasons. What's number two?
Well, number two, Frodo, is generally the reason why people don't want to leave their homes during a hurricane is something called drunken machismo.
Wow, what's that?
Well, drunken machismo is generally fueled by liquid courage and a need to feel superior to even the forces of nature. And with a line like, quote, I built this house with my bare hands, many people decide to stay as a show of macho in the face of overwhelming natural force, as if the hurricane is impressed.
Well, what a dumbass! Why would anybody do that?
Because they're drunk out of their freaking minds. Generally, when the worst part of the storm eventually hits their house, these very people who are expressing such courage 2 or 3 days before, you'll find them crouched in a corner, urinating on themselves.
Boy, I hope I'd like to see that on the 10 o'clock news!
Well, that's if they survive. See, they never tell the press about the urination part if they survive the hurricane, but they're right there in front of the camera screaming for federal aid, even though they're idiots.
Yeah, I seen those people on TV crying and moaning about their outhouse got knocked over in a hurricane.
Well, Frodo, that's why some people refuse to leave their houses when a hurricane's coming. A, they don't have a life outside of that house, so they just as soon have the entire structure collapse on top of them, squeezing every internal organ into an absolute bloody pulpy mess, or they're just drunk, and the first reporter that walked along and asked them, are you going to leave the house, they decided to say, as in.
I'm a puppet, I can't drink.
Yeah, I got that. All right.
Mr. Hendry, I wanted to know, will you
wrap this up, you freaking cloth piece of crap?
I'd like to have a beer.
Well, you're not having a beer, you're a puppet. And like I said, any more crap, and I pull you off of that hand. Yeah, I wouldn't dare, huh?
This has been Phil Explains the Bullcrap on the Phil Hendry Show. I have an empty feeling inside.
Pull you off that hand, man, I'm telling you. The worst thing you can do to a puppet is yank him off the hand. 1-800-449-8686. That really is the story behind a hurricane. Because I'll tell you a little tale. Some of you don't remember something called Mount St. Helens. Many of you are too young. You probably read about it. Mount St. Helens was a mountain outside of Portland, Oregon. I don't know how many miles away it was. You can see it from Portland. You can see it from the lake, you know, the higher elevations of Portland. In any event, this mountain was a volcano. And the volcano finally erupted, I think, in the spring of 1979. I reflect the early summer, it blew up. And they went to some old cat by the name of Harry Truman. Just like the president, this guy lived on the side of Mount St. Helens. And it was rumbling, and it was belching up gas, and they knew something was getting ready to happen. They went to Harry, they said, Harry, you got to leave, man. You got to leave. I'm not leaving anything. There's no way you people are going to get... I've lived in this home... Well, they left Harry alone, and no one ever found Harry. They couldn't find Harry because when the entire mountain blew up, I mean, there isn't enough left of Harry to stick in a thimble. There isn't enough left of him to stick in your change purse. I think he was vaporized. I think if you want to meet Harry or know what he's like today, just look into the contents of any ashtray. I think that'll give you the best possible idea of what Harry looks like. And for months afterwards, the ash was settling on Portland, on the city of Portland. For literally months, the ash was getting into air conditioning units. It was getting into the air cleaners of cars. It was settling on the sidewalks. It was settling on the street. And somewhere in that midst of ash, somewhere in that midst of stuff coming down, was Harry. Part of that was him somewhere, and his cabin, and his cat, and his parakeet. Just vaporized, baby. Now, a hurricane ain't going to do that much damage. I mean, it won't do that kind of damage. It'll kill you. But what they really ought to do is, I guess if a guy wants to stay in his house, the guy ought to be able to stay in his house. But here's the thing. If you're going to stay in your house, and a hurricane's going to come through, and there's a chance you die, somebody's got to clean you up. And I don't think it's fair. Honest to God, I don't think it's fair. So somebody from the National Guard or somebody from the coroner's office or some poor high school student who's volunteered to help clean up the debris is going to come across your dead stinking carcass because you didn't want to leave your house. So if you're going to stay in your house, you have to make a $5,000 deposit with the county that says, in case I die, this should cover the cost of vomit bags and mops and whatever else it's going to take to clean my old rotting carcass up. And I think only then is it fair. Otherwise, you're going, I'm going to stay, no matter what. Well, that's great. It ain't like Harry Truman who got vaporized and all we needed for him was a dustbuster. I can deal with that. But you get messed up in a hurricane, someone's got to pick your shredded carcass out of a tree and then load you into a hefty bag, throw you into the back of an ambulance, and then, bury you. And you know how much these... I mean, I'm telling you right now, you know how much a cigar box runs these days? I mean, what's left of you can stick in a cigar box and just toss into a hole. $5,000 deposit, baby, before you hang around that trailer. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, time for a walk down memory lane on the Phil Hendry Show, inspired by this email from Greg in Riverton. Phil, what I want to hear is the clip from a couple of Christmases ago when a caller didn't like that a neighbor had a big tree still showing in his window. The caller thought the tree was a representation of the man's penis and didn't like the man to wave his penis to the caller's wife's face. Thanks, Greg. Here it is, Greg. It was Lloyd Bonafide from January 2002 about the guy who still had his Christmas tree up.
First of all, I'm retired from the Navy. 20 years. I had a little piece of Korea.
Anchors
and
away.
I had a little piece of Vietnam. And I volunteered, sir, and I was proud to go. And if the man up the street wants to put his Christmas tree up at Easter, I've got nothing to say to
he
it.
He didn't
That's
put
the
it up at
I
Easter.
Went over there.
He put it up at Christmas time.
I don't care. He can put it up any time he wants. It's his home, for
but
God's
it
sake.
Represents
think about what you're doing there.
His tree has oversized Christmas balls on it, and that's not sexual?
No, that's not sexual, you idiot.
Well,
what
sir,
the hell does that have to do with sexual?
Because the guy told the woman he had an affair with up the street, he said that when I put my tree in the window, it represents the size of my thing.
Who told you that?
My wife talked to the old widow woman up the street.
You know what? I think your neighborhood ought to get some other hobbies there, fella. You people, that's all you got to do.
Yeah, it seems, yeah. It seems like they're a bunch of yentas sort of sharing.
We're not yentas for Jesus' sake. The lady said that she had an affair with this guy, Mitten, and she said he's got a big one. And he said, yeah, and watch when I put my tree up, it'll be symbolic.
Oh, come on.
Hold on. This gentleman, Walter, you know what I mean. You don't make fun of a Korean War vet. Am I right or am I wrong?
I never met one that would walk up the street and hit another man because he had a Christmas tree up in his house.
Not because he had a tree up, because it represented
nothing. You're listening to gossip and you made up your mind.
Absolutely.
You're a very foolish man, sir.
That's true.
And for another Navy...
I'm ashamed to say that you were a veteran. I'm not even sure that you were. You may be making that up.
For another veteran... Sir, what do you mean I'm making it up? I was there at the reservoir when we pulled the Marines out of there.
Well, good for you.
Okay,
why in the world would you go up the street and hit another man?
What reservoir was that?
Huh?
What was the name of the reservoir?
It was the Fernand Reservoir.
Oh, the what reservoir?
You know?
I happen to be a student of the Korean War, yeah. What reservoir was it that you pulled the Marines out of?
Fernand?
Huh?
Right.
He doesn't even know the name of the reservoir.
Well, hey, Walter, you know the name of the reservoir?
No, I have no idea.
Yeah,
he
doesn't know.
I was off the coast on aircraft carrier.
Look, I actually
wasn't in.
Walter,
combat.
Let me tell you something. This guy's Christmas tree has a bunch of sap coming off of it. Now, what does that tell you?
Oh, man. This guy needs a...
I need what, huh?
Okay. Thank you. All right. It's great talking with you, man. It's called Chosin Reservoir, by the way.
That was the one.
There he is, Lloyd Bonafide, the Christmas tree in the window in January. Why is it there so long after Christmas? Because he wants to show all the widow women on the street just what it's about. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. This coming weekend on the Phil Henry Show is going to be a free web weekend. It's what we call Own Phil Henry. There's been so much talked about having to do with file sharing, having to do with illegally downloading. We're going to offer you something that is completely the opposite. We're going to beg you to download our show. We don't have to beg you. It's going to be there free for the asking, free live streaming on the Internet. And I tell you what we'll do. We'll have some very, very special things in store for you on Friday. We're going to do some very special stuff on the air on Friday to make that show that you download Friday probably one of the classics of all time. In other words, we don't care. Go ahead and download the show. Go ahead and put it onto a hard disk. What do I care? And all you got to do is go on over to www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. And the website is going to be free all this weekend, and all the archive stuff will be there at your disposal. Now, come Monday, of course, it'll become a subscription site again, but by then maybe you'll want to have a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month. And what you get for your $6.95 a month is a lot more than you get for any $6.95 on any other site. You get some of the most classic stuff in radio comedy history right on our website. So, again, www.philhenryshow.com. This weekend, our free web weekend. And by the way, if you'd like to suggest a walk down memory lane or any other bit we've done, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com, that Lloyd bit from January of 2002. Okay, here is a phone call from Chris. Chris?
Yeah, hey, Phil, how's it going?
Fine.
I just calling about that $5,000 deposit for people who want to stay on through a hurricane.
The what?
That thing you just said about $5,000 deposits for people who want to stay during a hurricane.
Right.
Do you want people to pay $5,000 deposit every time they get in their cars, just in case somebody has to scrape them off the pavement?
I'm not driving willingly and willfully out into a high likelihood of death. People staying
well,
in their home.
In Southern California, yeah, you are.
Hey, you know what, Chris? Just talk about stuff you know about, okay?
Hey, Phil.
Talk about stuff you know about, okay?
In National Park.
Number two. Hey, Chris. You know what? Are you planning on staying in your house? Then I guess that's what that is, right?
Well, I'm in Maine, so I don't have a whole lot to worry about.
You hope?
No, I know. It's going to pass well to the...
And what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't?
If it doesn't, yeah, I'll stay here.
You will. So yep. Somebody's going to have to come along and bag your dirty, rotten corpse and throw it into the morgue, huh? Why don't you get out of there so that we don't have to clean you up with a mop and a pail?
Hey, clean me up with a mop and a pail.
Well, then we're gonna then it looks like you got any relatives? I guess your family doesn't have any money, does it?
No, we got money.
You do? All right, well, then we'll take it out of your relatives then.
Hey, fine with me.
Yeah, Chris says it's okay. We'll take the 5Gs from you.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah, all right. Well, good riddance.
Hey, Bill, take care. Love
yeah, you
the
too,
show.
Man. Jesus H. What are you talking about, man? Hey, living there in Southern California. Hey, dude. What are you talking about? I drive to work every day. Everything's good. It's all good. Even up there in Maine, it's all right. All I'm saying is, look, just get out of there, you people with the hurricane. Get out of there. Do what the authorities are asking you to do. Quit being like you're, what do you think this is anyway, huh? Sinbad the Sailor? What are you, Jason and the freaking Argonauts out there? These people are on the coast. Hey, it looks like a wind's coming up. Everybody, what do you think? It's Key Largo with Lionel Barrymore just going, hey, George Mealy, I'd like to take a swing. Hey, look at the old man, huh? Say, old man, Johnny Rocco, they'll never bring Rocco in, never. Did you ever see Key Largo? What a great flick. Humphrey Bogart and that other creep, whatever his name was, Edward G. Robinson. Anyway, get out of there. The cops, and the reason why the cops want you out of there is so they don't have to pull your dead body out of a tree. It's a good excuse to take a road trip. Just get the hell out of there. Get in the car and blow, baby. And when I say blow, I mean blow. Not as in hurricane, but you know. Let the hurricane blow. Oh, the wayward wind. I guess we could do a lot of bad wind jokes now, right about now, couldn't we? And they call the wind Mariah. All we are is dust in the wind. You know, you will be dust in the wind, friend, if you stick around for a hurricane. Hi, everybody. I'm Al Michaels for Dust in the Wind, a new little, it's like a dustbuster, man, if you turn yourself into just a little ashtray full of crap. Say, are you planning on sticking around for the hurricane? Well, this dustbuster will help your relatives pick you up. How many roads must a man walk down? Oh, the wayward wind. Did I already do that one? Everyone knows it's windy. You guys should stick around in your house when that Isabel hits the coast, and as soon as it hits, turn that one up. Everyone knows it's windy. Damn right it's windy. Wet and windy. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. Your ass is blowing in the wind. Who is that who just blew Eddie's door down? Who just blew by my front door? It looks like my neighbor, Sal. The answer, my friend, is Sal's ass is in the wind. The answer is Sal's blowing down the street. And other funny wind songs. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We want you guys to be all right. That's what we're saying. We just want you to be okay. I don't want you. What do you think? I want you to die? Cop says get out of there. And if you come back and the house is a pile of garbage, it's a pile of garbage. At least you got your rear end intact. Isn't that worth something? Go in there, get the picture of the cat and the picture of your son who's in the Marines or whatever it is you want to salvage, and move on. Look, you got insurance, don't you? You mean you don't? You got insurance. The insurance companies will be honorable. They'll pay off, well, what do you figure, 20 cents on the dollar? I'm joking. They'll come up with the money that you need to rebuild. But sticking around in the house, only so that somebody will walk someday up on a swamp and they'll see like what looks like a pair of shoes and pants and that's what's left of you? Because remember, folks, you're the wind beneath my wings. 1-800-449-8686. Mark just gave me a sign, Tumbleweeds. What the hell is this? Is that a wind song? It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, everybody. Phil Henry back here now. 10 minutes before the hour. A Hurricane Isabel going to be making landfall in the next 24 hours. And you might want to skedaddle, otherwise they're going to find your rotten corpse laying down the highway someplace for a road crew, huh? You don't want to be Caltrans' dirty business, do you? All right.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
That wind's outside now about 105 miles an hour.
It lingered there to touch your head. And walk with me. All summer long, we sang a song, and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind.
Yeah, the summer wind. Get it? Huh? All right.
Like painted kites. Those days and nights, they went flying by.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Augusta. Augusta who? Augusta Wynn will blow your ass away.
The world was new beneath the blue umbrella sky.
All right, there goes Maggie's umbrella from Maggie's Bakery.
Then softer than a fiber mat, one day it called to you. Lost you to the summer wind.
Well, I think you should have maybe kept a little bit better grip on her, huh?
The autumn wind and the winter winds, they have come and gone.
Is that a tumbleweed or is that Dorothy Pinchot from down the street? I have to check that out.
And still the days, those lonely days, they go on and on.
Hey, remember this one? Dorothy! Dorothy! Where are you, Dorothy? Remember that?
Guess who sighs his lullabies through nights that never end.
Why don't you blow?
My fickle friend, the summer wind. The summer wind. Warm summer wind. Summer wind.
What do you want, bud? Because I'm doing a funny bit here.
I say a joke.
What's your joke?
Hurricanes really blow.
Jesus H.
What?
I just did that, man. I said, why don't you blow? We've been doing blow jokes all day. Bug off.
What an ass.
Hurricanes really blow.
Hey, how come hurricanes is named after women?
I don't know why.
Because they arrive wet and wild, and when they leave, they take your house and your car.
Oh, what an old joke. Oh, God, what an old joke.
Bullcrap. You never heard it before in your life.
Oh, my ass. I heard it 85 times. Old and bad. Goodbye. Wet and wild, and they take your car. That joke is as old as that lady that's going to get washed out to sea when she didn't leave her house. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. So there, that's our contribution to the hurricane coverage. There's nothing else I can do. Stay tuned to the Weather Channel. I guess you ought to do that or get online and take a look at that big circling storm. I can tell you this. This I know about hurricanes. I was living in Florida. Well, I told you the story when that Hurricane Aaron was supposed to make landfall in Fort Lauderdale, so I went up to West Palm Beach, and they said it had turned north to West Palm Beach, so I had to get in my car and drive back down south again. That's my experience with a hurricane. Now, a lot of folks in Miami, where I used to live, they remember Hurricane Andrew, and with the greatest of respect and love for my friends down in Miami, it was Hurricane Andrew's aftermath where I saw one person after the next crying and screaming into a network TV camera about how they didn't have this and didn't have that. If you really insist on hanging around for the hurricane and suddenly you don't have a house, try not to go up to every network TV camera because you know they're going to be there. They're going to be flooding the area, if you'll pardon the pun. They'll be flooding the area with TV cameras and resist the temptation to walk up to it and weep and screech and bleat like a stuck sheep because you don't have your house anymore. Speaking of hurricanes, You know, the Phil Henry Show souvenir shop is open on our website, PHS. That's the Phil Henry Show website at philhenryshow.com, I should say. And have we got a brand new collection of marvelous items for you in our souvenir shop. Now, what time of year is this? Well, you know, Christmas is right around the corner, baby. I mean, it's never too early to do Christmas shopping, like they say. It's just, I'm sorry, it just isn't too early. And you should have seen when I hit those Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses are everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, I give a little gift here, give a little gift there. And people love those Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses. Now, they're little sampler glasses. You know what a sampler shot is as opposed to a full shot? A little sampler shot. They come in a package of four. Also, we have a collection of Ted's of Beverly Hills stainless steel coasters. These are good, man. I mean, if you don't want your house to be a toilet, if you don't want all that nasty-ass rings, you know, a guy puts a can of beer down and that table you bought is, like, suddenly destroyed, you go, hey, how about using a coaster around here, man, huh? It's the only, you know, it's like the only coffee table I've got. We also have the Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue apron and two new, the two Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts. One of them's brand new. We have the classic Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, and we have the new Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt celebrating the opening of the Honolulu restaurant. So go to our website and go to the souvenir shop. It's at philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com. Somebody close the window.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
News from Hollywood. Meg Ryan is going to be in a film which features full frontal nudity. Meg is going to show herself nude, and there will be, according to the press release, some very, quote, steamy sex scenes in the new film that she is currently involved in. She's bearing it all in several steamy, they keep saying steamy sex scenes. Steamy. And, you know, in other words, those are the ones that get cut. Can we get some more steam on the window over here, Bill?
Yeah.
That's the steamy sex scene they're talking about. In her newest film, In the Cut, from Oscar-winning director Jane Campion, the movie, a sexually explicit, get a lot of that, it's going to be sexually explicit, murder mystery. And Ryan's full frontal nudity is raising eyebrows, and it's making headlines. Hey. And she just says, and this is the other one that I like, that the director, this Campion woman, she said something like, I think the scenes are really good, but she wanted them to be very honest, and she said, if it helps you relax, then I'll take my clothes off, too. This is what the director said. A Phil Hendry comment. You know where movies are going, as far as this goes? As far as this is where movies... The young, smart, and creative filmmakers already know this. Actual sex between actors. Shown on screen. That's where film must go. It must go there. We have no choice. So in other words, take any graphic sex from any porn movie that you've seen and then put it into a Sleepless in Seattle or a what was that Angel movie that Meg Ryan did with Nicolas Cage? City of Angels. Put that in, and that's where movies are headed, whether you guys out there in filmland like it or not, whether you guys that are making movies like it or not. So when you say you got a real steamy movie, don't bore me, please. Meg Ryan is only going to be worth it nude when she's having full sex, and I mean actual sex with close-ups of the act with another actor. Now, you laugh, you giggle, you chuckle, but you know all of you clowns are hanging out on those porn sets anyway, and you know that's exactly what's going to happen. Actors are going to have to just commit look, they're sticking their tongues down each other's throats as it is. The actors are having to take the actresses are having to take tops off, and then some, you know, really lusty guy like Mickey Rourke or I don't know who, you know, you got to watch the same guy tonguing the same nipples movie after movie after movie, and it's so dull. Just dull. I already know what Meg Ryan's breasts look like anyway, having been to several pool parties with her. So what do I care? The fact is that when you cats come out with a sexually explicit movie baloney, hey, why don't you save that for somebody who's going to be impressed, okay? Because where the movies are going, and I'm not kidding, you may think I'm joking, but I'm not. Within the next, what did I say during show prep, Janice? Next 4 or 5 years? Outside 5 years, but by the end of this decade, for absolute sure. For you mark my words, for absolute sure, by the end of this decade, there will be graphic sex showing the actual penetrative act in movies, in so-called legitimate movies, starring like whoever, Harrison Ford, or oh God, that'll be frightening. Meg Ryan, all of your favorite actresses, they will show you everything, including their tremendous acting talent. And I think it's going to Angelina Jolie will be able to extend her career by at least 20 years. Jennifer Lopez, oh my God, by the end of this decade, Jennifer Lopez would be just another chick with a banana hat on. She'd just be somebody else doing the rumba in a Mexican restaurant somewhere at the Yucatan Peninsula. But with full graphic sex in movies that will happen by the end of this decade, Jennifer Lopez has got a whole brand new career. And it'll go on and on for years. She'll go from being the young, hot Latina to the older, sexy maid until finally, you got it, she'll be taking those roles as the old washerwoman up the street who puts out. No, seriously, I know people are, oh, yeah, sure, never, no way, Phil. First of all, actors are too professional. Let's take these points one at a time. Actors are too professional for what? What do you mean they're too professional? They're kissing, they're feeling each other up, they're humping each other, they're dry humping each other on, Jack Nicholson and Jessica Lange in that freaking Postman Always Rings Twice. I mean, what's the difference? Come on. What are you, who are you guys kidding? Right? So, don't give me that we're too professional baloney. Number two, Ms. Ryan, with all due respect, I know you're supposedly a really great actress. I don't personally think you are, but that doesn't make any difference. You're really great, and that's really nice. Okay. And you're all, like, tensed up about being nude on the screen? Why? I thought you're an actress. I thought you're supposed to get into emotionally the scene. What's to be uptight about for? And what was this thing you were reading, Janice? This is killing me. She said that she'd clear the set, that Meg Ryan was told that they would clear the set so that she wouldn't be all uptight and stuff. No, we're not clearing the set, Meg. You're not only going to get nude, we're keeping every grip on the set, and you're going to have sex with the guy, and we're going to be able to do close-ups on it, okay? Thank you, Miss Ryan. And if you try to quit, we'll sue you. All right, thank you.
You can't do that to me. Why, I...
Yeah, well, I'm going to do it to you. And if he doesn't do it to you, I'll do it to you, okay? I'm the director of the movie. Ryan's full frontal nudity is raising eyebrows and making headlines. Yeah, whatever. She told Reuters that she didn't really want to do the scenes, but put her faith in Campion. I think the scenes are really good, though. I think they're very honest. No, they're not. No, they're not at all. What do you mean honest? Honest? So in other words, you're hot for the guy? Then why do you have to have everybody clear the deck? Honest? So in other words, you do want to have sex with a guy. Well, the point being, if Campion was any kind of a filmmaker, if any of these guys, I'm not kind of single her out, if any of these guys are any real filmmakers, they're going to quit screwing around, if you'll pardon the expression, and they'll start screwing around. They're going to stop patting themselves on the back about the steamy sex scenes, which are so dull, it's beyond, oh, God, are they boring. The average porn movie is fantastic. But you want me to watch 9.5 weeks? What was that thing with the licking the toes? Get out of here, Rourke. No wonder you're a drunk. And not only that, Ms. Ryan, but guess what? You're not only going to have sex with this guy with all the grips, all the cable pullers, everybody, but Kraft Services is coming in, too. The guy that makes the omelets, he's going to watch. And I've allowed them all to have their Nikons with them. So just who are you kidding? Knock it off. Quit playing like this is some kind of a heaviosity thing, man, and just get your clothes off and start having sex with a guy, because that's where movies are going. And the first filmmaker to do that, he's not going to be a traditional filmmaker. He won't be any of the guys that are working now. None of the men or women that are working now have got the guts. And there isn't a studio right now that'll do it. But the first studio that does, now, who do you think will have the balls first? Which one? To have full graphic sex featuring a major star. Now, you're talking about seeing Tom Cruise's penis, or, you know, or whatever he uses. And Miramax? Yeah, you'd think it'd be Miramax, but, you know, those guys aren't the heavies that I thought they were. They're a little on the lightweight side, some of the crap they've been putting out. No, this is the only... A big studio's going to have to pull it together. How about that Lionsgate? One of those guys... That's another one. Maybe they'll do it. Disney will never do it. Disney's never been on the cutting edge of anything. They've never been first, other than to the bank, on anything. Disney's never been first in line for anything, other than to pull out a few million for a weekend for Mr. Eisner someplace. Disney. Yeah, uh-huh. How about Sony? You know, the Japanese will go for it. I could walk up to those guys and go, Mr. Yamahura, how are you?
Oh, big ride, dude, huh? Put it in. Yeah, that's out of sight.
Well, I thought you'd dig the idea, sir.
Yeah, man, I'm with that. Send all the Japanese people.
All right, cool. So Sony's down with the full frontal nudity and the graphic sex with Meg Ryan.
Japanese people don't even show pubic hair to porn. Love to see that. Meg Ryan, she hot, man. I'm all over that like white on rice.
Well, I thank you, Mr. Yamahura.
That Meg Ryan got the nice pink boobs, right? You're talking about showing full nipple, right?
No, not full nipple, man. I'm talking about full sex. Freaking Jap Jesus.
Ah, you still work for me, man. Don't pull half a joke.
I'm sorry. But God, you gotta understand something. I'm trying to tell you something here. We're gonna have Meg Ryan having sex. Having actual sex.
Oh, what if she don't want it, man? Like an agent.
Let's screw her agent. Maybe we'll put her agent in the movie. Maybe she can screw her agent on screen for all we care.
Let me think about it.
What's to think about?
You mean like a real push, push, push? Like a boom, boom, baby son, that kind of thing?
Right.
Yeah, baby, I'm all over that, man.
All right, cool. So I'll get you, pass on to the soundstage tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to bring also about 300 friends, too.
Got it. Now, will it be Sony? Will it be Columbia? Will it be all of you guys out there, when you go to a movie... And these steamy sex scenes happen. Like, let's talk about a steamy sex scene like in Titanic. Remember that one? How phony baloney that was? With Leonardo DiCaprio and what's her name? Jesus. Kate Winslet. Whatever, man. Just show them going at it. Somebody is going to do it. And it's going to happen by the end of this decade. My prediction is it'll happen within the next 5 years. And then all of these steamy sex scenes and these statements by Meg Ryan like, oh, well, you know, I was very, I don't know, I was kind of nervous. But once Jane offered to do it with me, and we got into some lesbian sex, and it seemed okay then. She explained on Tuesday during a press conference of very bored reporters at the Toronto Film Festival where the movie's being showcased. Jane didn't want them to be coy, so I don't think they are at all. And I love how much dialogue is in those scenes. That's what really makes it intimate. Her co-star Mark Ruffalo admitted he was scared of shooting the love scenes. Noting that Ryan once had a love affair with Russell Crowe, Ruffalo said, "All I could think of is what am I going to be like compared to Russell Crowe?" So maybe they were having sex. So if they were, then show it. It's going to happen. I predict it. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to show graphic sex, big movie, and finally they can stop with their phony approach to sex in movies. And all of that stuff, you know, the other one. You know, I think suggested sex is far sexier, don't you? No. Jesus. I had a girlfriend once, she said to me, you know the kind of porn movie I'd love to see? No, what is that? I'd like to see two people making love, I don't know, in rose petals. And I looked at her like, okay, look, you know something? I just remembered, I've got some eggs boiling on the stove, so I really have to go now. 1-800-449-8686, Bud Dickman to announce the winner of the Phil Hendry in 7 Words or Less contest. Am I right about this, Bud?
Yeah, I got our winner here.
All right, don't screw around this time, okay?
No, I got it all right.
All right, that's coming up in the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Time for Phil's mailbag now. Let's take a look at what we have in our mailbag here. Phil, if it wasn't for your show, I'd still be a virgin. It isn't because I'm ugly or anything. I just always lack the confidence to, quote, seal the deal. Last Saturday, I ended my 22-year-long dry spell. I met one of the best-looking 38-year-old MILFs I've ever seen, and, well, one thing led to another. I have Chris Norton to thank for this, as his sex addict meathead mentality inspired me. Thanks again for bringing me your outstanding comedy and getting me to think about all the stuff I was missing out on. David. P.S. In a world of compromise, some don't. Phil, in regard to the black guy in Salt Lake City, the black guy in Salt Lake City, yes, there are a few black people left, but very few since the Mormons ate most of them. Always here to help, Rick. Hey, Phil, thanks for the valuable views on the tanning craze. I live in Edmonton, Alberta, and there's nothing more frightening than seeing a 45-year-old cougar with a fake tan in the middle of a snowy winter. With breasts like beef jerky? Oh, God. Thanks again for the laughs, Damian James. Phil, is there a possibility that you could offer a Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police training camp for a week? Daniel Peake. Dear Mr. Hendry, just started listening to KNEW recently and happened to tune in when you were railing against United Airlines. I'm a 25-year customer service employee with United, and I'm sorry you had that bad experience. There are many people like me with the company who do everything possible to provide excellent customer service. We've installed easy check-in units at most airports, reducing line waits. We invented the electronic ticket. Where did you fly from? I would like to talk to that person's manager. Thanks for listening, Sam from Campbell, California. And finally, is there any way you could possibly bring back Dickman's Top 10 or maybe put more up on Bud's page? Thanks, you're what gets me through work. Anonymous. Well, thanks a lot. And, of course, if you have an email for us, phs@philhendryshow.com. Okay, so United Airlines, I'm not trying to bag on United Airlines. It's employees. I don't want to see anybody hurt. I'm just saying, as an employee, I'm just saying the airline stinks. What do you want me to tell you? It stinks. I mean, we will not fly it again. I will never fly it again. American Airlines, that's the one for me domestically. We flew Delta this past weekend. It's fine. It's fine. We flew Delta to Salt Lake City. But United was so underwhelming, so depressing. Have you ever, used your freaking flyer miles to bump yourself up to first class to maybe think, hey, man, now I'm living large? Nothing special at United. You sit there in a chair that's, maybe a little bit bigger than a coach seat. You got no footrest or anything. The food is whatever. The service is bored out of its mind. It's an old plane. It looks and feels kind of dirty. Who needs it, man? I mean, I'll tell you how much we hated flying United. When we flew United to Hawaii, my wife and I on vacation, we hated it so much going over there that we booked our return. We canceled our return on United and booked our return on American. I mean, I'm sorry. But you got to understand something. As I said once before, we are paying a lot to fly, and we understand that as of 9/11, a lot of people are afraid of flying. So the business is getting tight out there for airlines. So either you make the extra effort to provide a wonderful experience for people who fly and make it a little less like taking a Greyhound bus or sitting in the back of a pickup truck with the hogs and the hay bales. Make it a little bit less like hitchhiking and catching a ride in a smoke-filled van. And a little bit more like a nice, comfortable ride. Then maybe we'll start talking turkey. Other than that, take your airline, go out of business, and leave it to somebody else that'll do it better. Because one thing about America that I like, one of the many things I like, is that if some guy screws the pooch on the job he's doing, there's always a guy in line behind him ready to do it better. So if you want to start taking your customers for granted, if you want to start being rude, if you want to start being impatient, if you wish you had another job at another airline, if it's just so tiring, and if you're on a 12-hour turnaround, and the people are this and the people are that, and it's just really, you know, and you put your time in, and you got your seniority, and you only fly once a month to Hong Kong because that's where you want to go, and whatever, you know, ask me if I care. Ask me if I care, man. I'm the guy that's shoveling the 5 bills, 6 bills, 8 bills, 1,000, 2,000, in some cases 8, 9, 10,000 to fly your airline. Well, you know, the cost of fuel. Hey, you know how many times we've been hearing that argument, the cost of fuel? You know, play it back for yourself. We don't hear it anymore. But you don't understand the unions. I don't care about the unions. I don't care about any of that. Either you start treating the customers better or get out of the airline business and get into the business that you were fully intended on being in the first place, and that's making go-karts. Making them little red wagons. I think you guys ought to resurrect the Pony Express or Pack Mule. I think you'd be good at that. Just get out of the airline business. You understand? I know the airlines that I like flying, and I mention them. Delta, American Airlines, Air New Zealand is fantastic. British Airways is unbelievably fantastic. I love Alaska Airlines. There's the ones, those are the guys that look like they're making the extra effort. The rest of you guys, you know, take a flying freaking Finienza, okay? And look that one up if you don't know what it means. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, we're going to announce, you say we got a winner, bud, in the Phil Henry Show in 7 words or less contest.
Yeah, I got a winner here.
All right, now this is a contest we're doing where, what are you yelling for, man? Just get up to the microphone.
All right.
This is a contest we're doing, and we asked people to email us a description of our show in 7 words or less, because it is a program, a radio show that generally, people have been listening to us for a long time, it generally takes them like 2 paragraphs to describe this show. So, Bud, you have the winner, someone who sent in 7 words or less.
Yeah, they seven words. I counted the words. I counted them, and let me see. 4 words.
Well, it's got to be, you know, better than just 40 of six. So it's 4 words, so it wins?
No, I thought that's what you wanted.
That's not what makes the guy win. You describe the show good in 7 words or less.
But you didn't say good.
Well, what difference whether I said it or not? Now I got... Yeah, David.
What is it with you guys? Every time that retard comes on, you guys get into a screaming match with him. I'm asking you guys to wrap this contest up, okay? Now, what? Bud's got the winner, right?
Well, he's got a winner, but he's got a winner. Why'd you pick the winner, Bud?
Because he did it in 4 words instead of 7.
All right, what's wrong with that?
Describe the Phil Henry Show in 7 words or less means describe the show in an accurate way in 7 words or less.
Well, I don't know how you expect some dumbass like that to understand that.
Yeah, how you understand a dumbass me expect that.
Did you just hear what he said?
Don't pay any attention to it. All right, look, just announce the winner and let's be done with this stupid contest.
All right, this is for the winner of a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt.
Now this celebrates the new store in Honolulu, right?
And celebrates Ted's new restaurant in Honolulu. Bud, what is the new winning description, the new winning slogan of the Phil Henry Show in 7 words or less? Go ahead.
All right. Me like Phil Henry.
Me like Phil Henry?
No, me like Phil Henry.
Me like Phil Henry. What do you think?
Me like Phil Henry. Who's the winner?
Bud Dickman.
Oh, Bud won, huh?
Well, you...
Don't get mad. He's throwing around.
Bud Dickman.
He's messing around. When are you actually wrapping this piece of crap up?
We're going to wrap it up on Friday. I thought we had a winner today. Me, like Phil Henry, Bud Dickman.
That's pretty good. He's just screwing around with you. Look, Phil, it gives the retard a little bit of a release. Otherwise, he's chained to the wall back there in the newsroom just collecting copy.
I'm not going to blow a segment on this, Catman. Me, like Phil Henry, and that's...
Okay. Well, when's the thing going to end?
On Friday, okay? And no more submissions, please, ladies and gentlemen. We got enough of them.
All right. What, are you pissed off?
Yeah, I'm pissed off.
Relax. That's how retards get their jollies.
Me, like Phil Henry, Bud Dickman winner.
Yeah, okay, Bud. Very funny, Bud.
You really think so?
Yeah, it's very, very funny. Good for you.
Good going, Bud. Very good cutting-edge stuff.
You really like it, huh?
Yes, we do.
Read it again, Bud. It's very funny.
Oh, God.
Okay, the winner is me, like Phil Henry, and the winner is Bud Dickman.
Pretty good, huh, Phil?
Yes, it's very funny.
You really think so?
Yes.
But me, like Phil Henry's 5 words.
So you didn't catch that, Phil.
What an idiot.
You said it was 4 words.
Right.
Come here for a minute, Bud.
What are you going to do?
Just come here. I noticed there's something on your jacket. I want
to... Oh, okay. Get it! Oh,
that hurt! Yeah, won't be talking out of that mouth soon, huh? All swollen up there, are you, Bud? Here's another one for you.
Where'd it go, Mr. Hall?
Jesus, you better put some ice on your face.
Jesus, 2 days in a row you beat the tart up.
Right. 1-800-449-8686. All right, look, don't send any more emails in. We got the 7 Phil Henry Show in 7 words or less. We've got hundreds of emails, hundreds. So, tell you what, we will announce a real winner on Friday, not me like Phil Henry. In 7 words or less, and we will be giving away an actual, real Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, Honolulu. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, more perverts are doing studies of your teenagers to find out why they're driving stones. See, they don't want to talk to you. They want to talk to your teenagers because they're sick, twisted, sexual perverts. And also, speaking of sexual twisted perverts, Arafat says that, he's having a great time there living in his own waste in Ramallah. We'll be right back on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Time for a flashback. Don Berman, Don, he's the anchor on Channel 19 of the 5, 6, and 11 o'clock report. Don Berman is on yesterday to tell us that he is sponsoring a beauty pageant for disabled women, and this is just the kind of positive public relations he needs to get people behind him after he was hit with 3 paternity suits last year.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
What I want to say is, Mr. Berman, I think you are doing a great job.
Thank you very much.
All the great things that you just mentioned that you do. But what I also want to give you a little piece of advice.
Yes, sir.
That if you're trying to lift up your image, that image that's been suffering in the past year,
yes.
Do something noble without mentioning it to everybody else. I mean, people will see the goodness for what you do. If you're going to everybody and rubbing it in, putting it into their face that here, you see what I did, you hear that means that I'm good. If you do that, people, it means that you have actually, your intentions are bad. You're doing good things only to get good for yourself.
All right, now,
don't you agree with me?
Okay, well, I'm sort of following you. I don't...
Well, I'm pretty sure that all the listeners are following me. Because, when people do something great... Like, you've been talking a lot, and I've been listening to everything you said.
They're really, truly
outstanding things that you're doing. And I think what you're doing with the beauty pageant thing is going to help a lot of women.
Yes.
It will help. And, I mean, this is obvious things.
We don't have to say it.
I wish we had a male category because You get in. I don't understand.
Well, come on. The gentleman's, you're from Russia, Vlad, correct?
Yes, I am.
All right, so maybe we understand what you're saying. Go ahead.
Well, what I'm saying is that, I mean, if I want to list up my, well, it doesn't matter what I did. It doesn't matter what I've done and what I want to do. If I'm doing something good and if I want to see for people to see that I'm noble in what I'm doing, I mean, I think it's the same goes to Russia or anybody else in the world. Well, you do it out of goodness of your heart.
Right.
Not to get good reputation for yourself.
Can I just ask you something?
Sure.
And this is man to man.
Okay.
Don't you think any man,
okay,
who is able to get a one-legged woman to limp down a model runway and is able to put the title beauty pageant under that, don't you think he's entitled to a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Don't you think he's entitled?
Good God Almighty. What?
You know what? He can be entitled. No. It doesn't matter. It
doesn't make any difference.
What are the intentions behind it? You know what I'm saying?
No.
If right now Osama bin Laden will go ahead and make hundreds of beauty passions and invest tons of money into America and help all the disabled children in the world with his money, it will not cover all the bad things that you did. Don't you think?
I think that you make a point, but if Osama bin Laden, even after he did 9/11,
yeah.
If he came up with something as juicy as a disabled woman's pageant, don't you think you'd forgive him a little bit?
No, not at all.
I don't think
no,
so,
we
and
wouldn't.
That's what I think where you're flawed is.
Sir,
my last suggestion before I go off the air.
You guys just
listen to me
nice.
For 1 second.
Yes.
For 1 second, I beg you.
Yes, sir.
My last suggestion, in the future, if you do something really great for the people,
yes,
you know what? Just put your name in the bottom somewhere and let people see. The greatest payback, what you're going to see is on the people.
Sir,
oh, look at this guy.
Are you
he did it.
When
people will notice by your deeds, not by you screaming out of them, going on radio station and making that into a Jerry Springer show. Thank you very much.
Vlad, I have to ask you something. Vlad, are you there? God.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There's Vlad. And even if Osama bin Laden sponsored 900 disabled women's beauty pageants, it wouldn't forgive him for what he did on 9/11. 1-800-449-86, but it would go, you know, a pretty long way. 1-800-449-8686. This weekend, the Phil Hendry website is absolutely free. You won't have to have a backstage pass. You can log on. You can listen to our archive. You can live stream the show. And as far as listening to the live streaming of the radio show, which then this weekend begins on Friday, you can download that. That's right. You can download that show. We got no problem with it, man. The RIAA may have some problems with it, and Metallica may have some problems with it, and whoever the hell else may have some problems with it, and every record company that's losing money hand over fist may have problems with it. We got no problem with it. Download our show anytime you want. Just go to our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Our free web weekend begins on Friday. Own Phil Hendry. Now, here's another one of these surveys of how much kids are drinking and driving. How often are they stoned when they drive? How often are they drunk when they drive? They're always prying into the lives of kids, always sticking their greasy, dirty, perverted noses into the private affairs of kids. Why don't you guys do what you should be doing, and that's asking adults how many of them are stoned and drunk when they drive? That's the most important thing going on here. See, they got it all bass-ackwards, and they always have had it bass-ackwards. They've always said, well, if we can stop the kids from doing it, then we'll have another generation of people. Well, that hasn't worked, man. It hasn't worked, and you've been trying to do it for 20 freaking years. If we can just get to the kids, then they'll grow up, and they'll be... Now, they won't, man. You got to get the parents. You got to get these adults with their... You got to get them straightened out, rather than sticking your perverted nose into what the kids are doing. Here's another one of these surveys. I love this. Stone teens causing accidents. The teenager driving next to you in your commute could be stoned. The new report shows marijuana was involved in about 38,000 vehicle accidents last year when a teen was behind the wheel. Yeah, well, who was smoking the dope? Was it the teen or was it the adult that ran into him? When it comes to driving, the Bush administration says too many American teens are taking the high road. One in six teens admits driving while high on marijuana, John Walters, the drug czar, said. Okay, but how many adults are admitting to this. Every time I see one of these surveys, I got to ask myself, what's the correlation in the adult world? I never, ever read these surveys anymore and say, gee, we got a problem with teenagers. I always say, we've got a situation here that's obviously reflected in the adult world, probably worse. If it's 1 in 6 teens driving ripped, I bet you it's like 1 in 3 adults driving ripped out of their freaking brain. Rat ass to you know where, man. As a matter of fact, why don't we just check, instead of this crap, why don't we just check into the Bush administration, how those two daughters of his doing? Come on! I don't hear nothing about that, you know, that's, I dig that, you know, I love these conservatives. They're ripping into an innocent little kid like Chelsea Clinton, making fun of her braces. They rip into Clinton as a human being. What kind of a father and a mother are George and Laura Bush when they got these two sluts for daughters? Two sluts. Let's call a spade, okay? Well, not if he's in the room. I'm kidding. Let's call a spade. Two freaking dresses up over their heads, Cuervo 1800 shooting, jello shot, body shot sucking, beer bong hitting, wine bong hitting, slut daughters. Now, personally, what a woman does with her private life is no business of mine, but I just know for a fact that if it was Clinton's kids, they'd be all over him as a rotten father, another indication of what kind of a human being he is, another indication of if he can't control his kids, can he control his family, and all of this stuff. The hypocrisy of these conservatives, these people that run radio, that run talk radio, is so unbelievably record-breaking, it's so ignorant, it makes me sick. Makes me want to puke. I ain't saying that I don't respect President Bush. I happen to respect the man. See, that's what makes me probably better than 90% of the people out there. You know what, Bush? You're a lousy father, but you make a pretty damn good president so far. Mr. President, I support a lot of the things you're doing in foreign policy. I realize you got to pull your head out of your ass when it comes to domestic stuff, but I have confidence that you've got the best will, the best intentions for the American people. Okay, that's what Phil Hendry gives President Bush. But as a father, you better get those two sluts under control, okay? Because they're making you look bad. I mean, you know, do I really think they're sluts? I don't know. I mean, they look like they're actually a lot of fun to be with, if you want my honest opinion. But I'm just telling you what a lot of people would say if they were Clinton's kids. They'd call them sluts. Personally, I'd love to spend a weekend with the two of them. And I'm not talking about having sex. I just like to hang out with them and see where they go and what they do. You know what I'm saying? I'll rent a limousine and spend a weekend with the Bush daughters. God, that would be bitching. God, that'd be great. No. I ain't doing no listener contest. This is me and me alone. Me and my, I can't bring my old lady. Me, Mark, and Chris. You know, and we'll just escort him around and buy him drinks. You know, Miss Bush?
Uh-huh.
I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you. And,
You're a really nice guy.
Well, thank you. Can I buy you another 5 shots of Cuervo 1800? Or may I introduce you to the great Don Julio Blanco?
Don Julio what?
Don Julio Blanco. It's very good tequila.
Oh, bullcrap. I think Cuervo 1800.
All right, Miss Bush.
Mr. Hendry?
Yes, Miss Bush.
Could you hold my hair back so I don't get corn in my hair when I puke?
Why, certainly. My name is Phil. Just call me Phil, okay?
Whatever you say. Are you married, Bill?
The name's Phil.
Nice to meet you, Jill.
All right. You do have a little bit of corn in your hair, so I guess you already vomited.
Yeah, I did.
All right. Well, time to get in the limousine and go to another bar.
Oh, goody!
Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody's underwear?
They're mine.
Okay, great. I saw them laying here.
I don't remember eating any corn, though.
Well, I just... So there you go. It's a weekend with the Bush twins. And they're the ones that are getting high. And if they're getting high, what's the old man doing? Well, I know President Bush is a recovering alcoholic. So he's to be commended. You know, it's really sad. What's happened, and I'm going to tell you this because I've got a pretty good eye on this stuff. What has happened over the last 10 years is an enormous backlash against a sort of a liberally inclined country over the 30 years before that. And the backlash from the conservative side of the country has been so strenuous that it has swung so far the other way that it has lost all connection to truth. It's lost, in other words, it's become so enabled and so proud of itself and almost so megalomaniacal that it now spits out any stupid thing and they think it's genius. And they even believe now that they are the only really worthwhile political party in the country, the Republican Party, and they also believe that they don't really need another political party, that the Republicans are all that we need. And that liberals are not only wrong, they're traitors. And that liberals are not only wrong, they're scum. I mean, this is how insane they are on the conservative side. They have lost their minds, led by a whole flurry of really, really mediocre talk show hosts. Conservative, they call themselves conservatives, right? Real mediocre, real average, real nothing. Okay? So that, you know, President Clinton's got all kinds of personal problems, but meanwhile, President Bush has got a couple of broads running around out there, his daughters, who are, I guess, sleeping with everything that walks. And next thing you know, he's going to, hey, Mr. President, I think you got a few Mexican grandkids on the way. I'm sorry, but... Why don't you guys out there in conservative land, why don't you just put a freaking plug in it? And I mean both ends, too. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.